Eight, the himatzo. So the Gemara says, "Hasam biyachid al tzibur." That the Gemara refers to tzibur. Zardin of a tzibur is always a subject to being overridden by tshuva. But when it comes to yachid, that's what the Gemara means when it says, "Dirshu Hashem dafka v'himatzo." So then the Gemara says, "Biyachid emas." And when is this v'himatzo that the yachid has this opportunity? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Baravua Elo Asar Yomim Shemein Rosh Hashanah LeYom Kippur." That it refers to the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And this is really the foundation of the concept of Aseres Yevei Tshuva. The Marshan Yivamos on this Gemara appears in a few places. One here, the other places are Yivamos Mem Tesun Beis and Kufayim Ralas. So the Marsha and Yivamos explains that the significance of Aseres Yevei Tshuva is to be understood in very practical terms. Number one, it's urgent that people do tshuva, but more to the point, since the context of the Gemara was about the Gzar Din, which is subject to being Nikra, so the point is that the Yachid, Bein Rosh Hashanah LeYom Kippurim, always has the opportunity because the Gzar Din takes place on Yom Kippur. So it's always Kodem Shenichta Madin. Since it's Kodem Shenichta Madin, therefore it's always a propitious, opportune time for Yechidim. That's how the Marsha explains the Gemara. Which basically means that there is no parallel between the Tzibur, Kal Hashana, and the Yachid in Aseres Yevei Tshuva. Not really. Technically there is, in the sense that he has this, we know that during this period of time there's always an opportunity, like there always is for a Tzibur, but in a sense, it's for a totally different reason. In the case of the Tzibur, it's the ability to overturn the Gzar Din. In the case of the Yachid, according to the Marsha's understanding of it, it's basically because you're always prior to the Gzar Din, since the Havtacha is that the Gzar Din will be upheld until Yom Kippur, so you always know that there is this opportunity. So the Behimatzo basically has to do with the urgency, the motivation to do tshuva, and even more important, according to the Marsha, to the fact that we know that the Gzar Din has not yet been established. But it appears to me, at least, that the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Vav and Zayin, formulates the din of Aseres Yevei Tshuva, and uses the following language, which, to me at least, sounds like it goes well beyond the idea that we're simply talking about an ace ratzon and an ace tzara. It sounds like the Rambam thinks that it's more than that. Alpha Pisha Tshuva v'hatzaka yafali olam. Rambam says, even though tshuva and tzaka, crying out, is yafali olam. Be'asaras hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom kippurim biyom kippurim ki yofe biyoser umiyadi miskabeles shenemar dirshu Hashem v'himatzo kara'uhu biyoso karov. Okay. So basically, the Rambam then goes on to explain, b'medvar mamur biyachid. Avu b'tzibur kozman she'osin tshuva v'tzoak in b'leif shalem heinenim shenemar kashem alakenu b'chol kara'inu elav. So it seems that the Rambam understood that there really is an equation between the tzibur, kal hashana, and the yachid in Aseres Yevei Tshuva. And that it's not just because the mitzius always is that it's lifnei gmar din, and therefore there's always the opportunity, but to change one's fate. But on the contrary, it sounds like what the Rambam is saying is that just like Tzibur calls man she'osin tshuva v'tzok in b'leiv shalem im danin, that is the fate of Yechidim during Aseres Yevei Tshuva as well. And that's why he uses the language ha'tshuva v'hatza'aka, again, the same language that he uses with the Tzibur, osin tshuva v'tzokin, and yafa li'olam, v'aseres hayom shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom kippurim, yafa biyoser. Yafa biyoser doesn't just mean it's more appropriate, more needed, even more propitious in the sense of since the stakes are higher, so it encourages people to be more serious about it. It sounds like qualitatively, yafa biyoser, the quality of the tshuva and its impact as well is different. And again, miyad himitzkabelas, shenemar tshuva Hashem bihimatzo karu biyoso karo. So according to the Rambam, it appears that Aseres Yemei Tshuva are qualitatively different than the rest of the year in the opportunity that they provide for Tshuva. And in this period, the Yachid has almost the same rights as the Tzibur. Perhaps it's because every Yachid has this obligation to the period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. So in a sense, even though he relates to it as a Yachid and not as a Tzibur, that creates the equivalent of the Tzibur. Or simply as is, the time period of the year raises the Yachid to the level of Tzibur. But in either case, it seems that the Rambam goes much beyond the Marsha's interpretation of the Gemara and understands that this is really a rare climate and an opportunity for Tshuva. At the same time, clearly, there remains an important difference between this period of the year and Yom Kippurim. Next, Halacha Rambam says, Yom Kippurim huzman tshuva lakol yachid ularavim. Right? Yom Kippur, everything escalates. It's not only the zman for yachidim, it's the zman for the rabbim as well. Mu'kets mechila uslicha liYisrael. Rambam didn't say anything about mechila and slicha in the line above. He says that the tshuva is miskabeles biyoser, and miyad he miskabeles. But Kates Man Slicha Mechila the Yisrael, of course, is a very different formulation. Lefikach, not only that, Chayavim Akolasos Tshuva Ulisvados B'Yom HaKippurim. The Chi of Tshuva that the Rama mentions refers only to Yom Kippur. And then he speaks about Mitzvot Vidu Yom HaKippurim, and so on. Clearly, there seems to be a significant departure from the end of Halakha Vav to Halakha Zayin. Yom Kippur. Its quality as a yom tshuva is even different than Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even though Aseres Yemei Tshuva for the Rambam already reaches a very elevated status. The question is to try to understand a little better what is the nature of tshuva's Aseres Yemei Tshuva and the tshuva of Yom Kippur. In general, the question is what the relationship is between the Aseres Yemei Tshuva on the one hand and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on the other. To what extent are they integrated? Or are they two themes or three themes? How many themes are there? Made a comment in the past, I think it's correct, that the unusual term Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim that is used by the Gemara. There aren't really ten, of course. There are seven. If you count the Yom HaRichta. So why 10? Right. So I think that by using that terminology, Chachamim are already hinting to us that Aseres Yemei Tshuva has a dual character. And on the one hand, it is a part of and integrates Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur weren't part of this process, the beginning and the end of it. And then the middle wouldn't be what it is. And at the same time, that's the Asara Yamim, of course. And of course, in certain halachos, we really do integrate the entire period in terms of the Haskaras of Tefillah, HaMelech HaKadosh, Sov L'Chaim, Zafchenu L'Chaim, Sefer Chaim, and so on. L'Chatchila, the poskim say already from the time of the Gaonim that one is supposed to fast for 10 days. So some Gonim really felt that you should fast on Rosh Hashanah, both days. And some Gonim felt you should fast on the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That really establishes the total integration, Rosh Hashanah taking on Yom Kippur type characteristics already, and even the Shabbos in between, and so on. And even if we don't, and our Pesach generally is not the fast, there are different views, right? Maybe only one day Rosh Hashanah, if not both. And what about the Shabbos? Is it better? Is it worse? There's a range of views on that as well. But for most of us, the Pesach that we adhere to is that we don't fast on either day of Rosh Hashanah, and we don't fast on Shabbos either. But the post can say that that's the reason why we start saying Slichos several days before Rosh Hashanah. And that if Rosh Hashanah falls out too early in the week, right, so we say Slichos the week before, to ensure that at least the cutoff point is like it was this year, or actually Yom Rabi, the cutoff point is to ensure that there are at least 10 days, aside from Yontif and Shabbos, so that there can be a that there could be 10 days of fasting. Okay. So even though we don't do it, but of course the fact is that we don't do it. So in a sense, you know, you can look at it in two ways. We can't do it because of Shabbos, and we can't do it because of Yom Tov, but from every point of view, this is part of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, influenced by Yom Kippur, and we would like to do it, or there's a kind of dialectic here. We don't do it, and it's not just a coincidence, because Rosh Hashanah is different than the Shabbos. Of course, it's in its own right, but especially the Rosh Hashanah is different than Yom Kippur. But at the same time, we'd like, even though we don't do it, we'd like the symbol of integrating, you know, we'd like to be able to do it on a certain level, and therefore we find an outlet to be able to do it. So in a sense, both in terms of Tzom and Askaras and Tefillah, although again, in Tefillah there's a big debate about this, whether or not only Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur or in between, Sakat Sofrim and Shiva Lehalaket, and a lot of the Rishonim discuss this issue. But on some level, of course, there seems to be integration of the period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Asara Yamin, even though it's Shabbat. At the same time, as we just noted, both in terms of Tefillah and in terms of Tzom and in terms of other things, it's also Shabbat Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's both of these elements, and one suspects that they're not separate, but they're just different dimensions, each which enhance each other. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur being the poles, Aseres Yimei Tshuva being the bridge between them, a transition from one to the other. Even as the purpose of it all is one integrated process from beginning to end that accomplishes effectively a certain kind of tshuva. We dafka cordon off Rosh Hashanah in one sense in terms of the tzom issue, and we dafka cordon off Yom Kippur from the other side, particularly the view of the Rokeach. Everything is different on Erev Yom Kippur. The Tachanun and the Mount of Slichos that we say, right, the question of to what extent Erev Yom Kippur belongs with Yom Kippur or with the rest of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And of course, the question whether the entire day isn't caught up in the halacha of kala ocha b'tshi, kila nisana b'tshi uba asiri, whether or not already from the night before that becomes an issue. There are many halachos, again, that establish that Yom Kippur, the Arab Yom Kippur already, cordons off Yom Kippur from the rest of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And again, one has a sense that this is not coincidental. How many biduyim do you say on Erev Yom Kippur? All of this is meant to establish that there is a break. And of course, the fact that there has to be a su'udah establishes this clearly as well. Again, the language of the Rokeach highlights it just a little bit. I think the Beit Yosef quotes it here, if I'm not mistaken. Tav Reish. That's a couple of other things as well. Again, the Rokeach was clearly trying to indicate not just that coincidentally there are different things that we do in Erev Yom Kippur, which could be explained. It's the Yom Tov part of Yom Kippur. Various explanations could be given, but it sounds like it's important to understand this, that there are phases of transition within the Aseres Yimei Tshuva themselves. So the question is, how do we understand what is unique to Aseres Yimei Tshuva, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? Why do Aseres Yimei Tshuva constitute an ideal bridge from one to the other? So I just want to, very briefly, suggest the following. The discussions about Zachreinu L'chaim highlight it. On the one hand, it's clear that the purpose of this entire period is to guarantee for ourselves Kate Slicho Mechilon Le Yachid Ularabi. Is there anything wrong with saying Zachreinu L'chaim during Aseres Yemei? We say it, but is there any problem with it? Again, some of the posts can discuss whether it should or shouldn't be said. So on one level, the issue can be discussed in terms of tefillah. We hinted at it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. The question is, are you allowed to really insert bakasha in the shevach part of Shemoneh Esrei? And if so, you know, should that be limited as much as possible to Rosh Hashanah and to Yom Kippur? But is it possible that there is something else as well, some other issue about saying Zachreinu L'chaim? Second question, in the other direction, the Shabbos of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. To what extent is that integrated into Aseres Yemei Tshuva as well? I already mentioned that there, some of the Gaonim said one should fast on the Shabbos. Others said you can't. Others said even if you can fast on Rosh Hashanah, you can't fast on Shabbos. Said the opposite. We learned Beitzah, we discussed the Shita of the Ravon, quoted in the Sefer HaManig, who says that even if you could fast on Rosh Hashanah, you certainly can't fast on Shabbos. After all, Shabbos has the full complement of Yisra Malacha. I just mentioned that there are Chagav now, but that's of course a very surprising, fascinating statement, because normally, we encounter the exact opposite perspective. That many poskim who feel that the reason that there's a heter ochel nefesh b'yom tov is because it's a chiyuv su'udah b'yom tov that transcends the chiyuv su'udah of Shabbos. That Shabbos is oneg and yom tov is simcha. So the stronger, the more intense simcha demands su'udah even more than the oneg of Shabbos. And that's the reason why there's a heter ochel nefesh. That's the view of the famous view of the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh used to explain that he rejected the position of the Gaonim that you could fast on Rosh Hashanah. He said if you could fast on Rosh Hashanah, there wouldn't be a Heter Ochel Nefesh. The fact that there's Heter Ochel Nefesh for Rosh Hashanah, we don't find any distinction between Pesach and Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is no Heter Ochel Nefesh. But certainly there's Ochel Nefesh, Heter Ochel Nefesh and Rosh Hashanah. The fact that there's Heter Ochel Nefesh shows you there's a Chiyuv Sudah. That's the Shagas Aryeh, and that's the view of the Netziv, says the same thing in Hamek Davar, and others suggest it as well. So of course with that mentality, you would say that, you wouldn't say what the Ravon says. You wouldn't say, you certainly can't fast, even if you could fast on Rosh Hashanah, you certainly can't fast on Shabbos, after all, on Rosh Hashanah at least, you know, we're talking about a Heter Ochel Nefesh. But on Shabbos, all Malachas is prohibited. Right, that's exactly the opposite of the mentality of the Shagas Aryeh and the Hamik Dabar. According to the Shagas Aryeh and the Hamik Dabar, we'd say the opposite. You'd say the fact that there's Heter Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov is an indication that there's more of an intense Chiyuv Suda. If there's more of an intense Chiyuv Suda, then there's less of a justification for fasting. On Shabbos, all there is Oneg. And that's why you can't violate Shabbos for the sake of the Suda. So the status of the Suda on Shabbos is more precarious, let's say. And as such, maybe, if there's a good reason to fast, you might want to fast. But the Ravon says the opposite. The Ravon says, you can't fast because that's a violation of Kedusha Sayom. And there's more Kedusha on Shabbos than there is on Yom Tov. The Haraya, there's a greater complement of Yisra Malacha, which actually fits nicely into the topic that we've been discussing about Kedusha Malacha on Shabbos. And the idea that it's that Yisra Malacha flows from the Kedusha Sayom. So there's more Kedusha Sayom, of course, added to Kiddush. A Tzom is a stira normally, exception, of course, of Yom Kippurim, where that is the Kedusha Sayom, but it flows from the Mikra Kodesh too, I might say. But otherwise, the Kedusha Sayom is a stira to a Tzom. So that's why the Ravon said that even if you could fast on Rosh Hashanah, you certainly can't fast on the Shabbos. But there were, as I say, other Gaonim who said that that's not correct. You can fast in all, and so on. Either way, that's one issue. But the other issue, of course, is whether you should say, Slichos of the Tachnunim on Shabbos Shuvah. Okay, none of us here probably do, but some of the Chachmei Sfarad thought that you should. Again, the Torah quotes it here in Siman Tav Resh Beis. The quotes here. V'noagim b'svarad shegam b'shabes marbin lomar slichos v'tachnuni. V'ani tamiyal min hagam. Tra'ein b'riyin b'shabes. Right, you're not allowed to zot tzaka on Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef has a very powerful line where he says here, the v'nira litein tam l'min hagam she'im svurim d'alocha kamandamar matri b'shabes al ir she'ikifu oivim or shatfinu nahar l'fishu davar nachutz v'kroshu pasak haramba. If you're in a state of crisis, then you are allowed to be matri on Shabbos. The kosher abeid v'simen tafku b'ayin zayin v'kivin d'baser simei tshuva Tatfila Nishmas Yoser Mib Yamim Acherim, the Gamba Osan Hayamim, Adam Muchan Lios, Nigmar Dino Yomakipurim, Ain the Khadaver Nachutz Yoser Mize, Mukamaka Machan Eno No Glomar Slichos Nakun Shabbos Mizeklav. So it's a very powerful statement of Beis Yosef to equate the physical danger of being in a state of siege and, you know, literally where you're your physical life is being threatened by some external force, by an enemy, and then of course you're allowed to be matriya, even on Shabbos, to compare that to the existential crisis and spiritual threat of before Yom Kippur. It's a very strong statement. Again, we don't do it, but again, one suspects that the sentiments of the Beis Yosef are not only according to the Chachmei Sfarad, they're according to the Chachmei Ashkenaz as well. And from this point of view, again, it reinforces the point that Aser Simei Tshuva Hatfil Nishmas Yoser Mibiyamim Acherim, that this is consistent with the Rambam's understanding, not so much with the more diluted view that I mentioned before, which the Marsha expresses in Yevamos, namely that it really is a qualitatively different level of obligation and a different level of opportunity as well. So again, there's a question about the haskaras of tefillah during Aseret Tshuva. There's a question in the other direction, to what extent Shabbos is transformed by being part of Aseret Tshuva. These are halachic issues that come up. There's another couple of interesting issues. One is the question of din. Is it better to pursue din during Aseret Simei Tshuva or not? You have a case against you, or a case that you're involved in. Is it better to pursue it or not? So in Shulchan Aruch, I think I brought the tour, not Shulchan Aruch. Okay. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Taf Reish Beis, the psak is that if you can hold off on a din Torah during this period, it's better. And then the post can discuss this. After all, you know, there's ritsui and all sorts of schuyos that are accomplished by means of taking care of outstanding dine Torah against you. So wouldn't that be a good thing, Dafka, to do in a Aseret Simei Tshuva? So is it a question of, oh, it's an ace peronios versus the schuyos that you could cull from it? Is that the issue, or is it something else? In any case, it's an interesting discussion. Equally interesting, maybe more interesting, is the question of Kiddush Levana. The Lubush suggested that one should be Mekadesh Levana during Aseret Simei Tshuva. After all, he says, Mochel and Avonosa, you get all sorts of schuyos when you do Kiddush Levana, Muftachlosh, that he will live. So it's a big school on Kiddush Levana, therefore you should do it. In the Shulchan Aruch, the psak is that one should not do Kiddush Levana until after Yom Kippur. And the question is why? So is it a question of simcha, and that this simcha might deflect you from the seriousness of Aseret Simei Tshuva, or is there something else? Again, I'm sorry, I don't have the Shulchan Aruch here. There's another issue. Oh, yeah, if you don't mind, it's very quickly, this is a line that I like to read. There's another issue, and that is the issue of getting married. Should one, the chatchila, get married during Aseret Simei Tshuva? Assuming that you find the right person first, of course. So the the Chacham Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger, discusses this problem, and he says that you know, he heard that, you know, there was prevalent minug to get married in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The reason is because, again, there's this idea, the Chazal say, that when you get married, you know, so Mochlin lo kol avonosa. So what could be better? Mochlin lo kol avonosa, and you escape the Gzar Din by getting married. Sounds like a very good idea. Indeed, in the Tshuvas of Lama Nehoel, of David Tzvi Hoffman, I think it's Simon Aleph, he says that he got married, I think he said it about himself, that he got married during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and what a great thing it was, after all, this whole discussion, Mochlin lo kol avonosa. But I think it's a very fascinating line, Ishkar, thank you. And the Rav Shlomo Kluger, when he discusses this question, so he says one should not. And the discussion is very interesting. So let me just read a couple of lines. In the Kachin Halavana Motzah Yom Kippurim, Yerbeina Hinde Aminat She'in Nosim Nashim Ad Acher Yom Kippurim. V'chein Hu Gadli, Shem Sefer Mat Ephraim, Hebe Minag. V'hinei V'tam Aminag, Zawa Yidavka should not get married. Yer B'shtei Panim. Aleph. Kim Shomu Chazal Anosa Isha Mochum Lo Kolav Onosa. I think that would be a good thing. In came B'tchilas Hashana, Ein Lasos Hishtadlus Mechilas Avonos, Ad Yom Kippurim. Shakadosh Baruch Hu B'tziruf Itzuma Shoyom, Mochum Lo Avonosa. Vim Ishtadel B'tchila Al Mechilas Avonos, Kodim Yom Kippurim, Hava Kemerim Yad B'melach. Usmachos Zemat Shakasov Yerushalmi, Ha'omer Echtav Yom Kippurim B'chaper, Adim Barnash, Omer Lamalka, Leisat Melech. So, Muchach, Yom Kippur, Nechshav Kemelech, Ha'mevayit bo kemevayit b'melech, V'chein ha'chanani, Misha Mishtav el-Hasig Mechila B'tchilas Hashon, Ekonim Yom Kippurim, Ha've Kemerin Yad b'melech. Ha've Dovu Lamal Shor B'chazal, Merin Yad b'melech, Shechol Atzfilo B'fonav, Ha've Haram Atziyad, and so on. Then he has Tam Hasheni, different. Anyways, this is very, I found this to be very fascinating. Technically, what Shlomo Kluger says is that, you know, one shouldn't try to achieve Mechilas Avonosav before Yom Kippur. Or, I don't know if it's a question of timing, but one shouldn't try to, you know, to steal the Rabbeinu Shalom's thunder, it sounds like, as it were. I mean, he is Mochel Avonoseinu on Yom Kippurim B'Tzuma Shel Yom, and we shouldn't try to jump the gun or steal the thunder of this this effort. Okay. The question is, what does this mean? I'm not sure what Rav Shlomo Kluger had in mind, but maybe this is what he had in mind, and if not, we'll just suggest a slight variation and adjustment. So I think that the point is, in all these issues, Zochreinu L'chaim, to me the pattern is that Zochreinu L'chaim, yes or no, Din, which is Ritzui, and has also Zchuyos, yes or no, Kiddush Levana, Muftachlo, right, that he will live through the month, and so on, yes or no, getting married, Mochalo Avonosav, yes or no. Well, what is the issue here? Of course, all of us want the conclusion of Slicho Mechila and Mechilas Avonoseinu. We pass that we say Zachreinu L'chaim, and so on. The question is whether or not that goal, you know, is a narrow goal and one to be pursued single-mindedly, again, in a narrow way, or whether one should take the opportunity of the fear and the stakes of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right, to address one's larger issues and one's overall status as an Oved Hashem in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what I think is the idea of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and that's what some of these issues are, no matter how we paskin one way or another. Of course, we're interested in Mechilas Avonoseinu and Zachreinu L'chaim. The question is, does the threat that hangs over us, is that something that we can use constructively to achieve a tshuva shlema, tshuva me'ava, and so on, in the process as well? Chayodam has very powerful stirring words about tshuva, during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and makes a distinction in general between, you know, Ben Adam L'Chavero and Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Atzmo. The idea that Musar, true Musar, is Ben Adam L'Atzmo. It's a person's introspection, self-reflection, to analyze in a detached way, in a harsh way, where a person stands, what his failures are, you know, what potential he has yet to attain and to achieve. The point is that Aseret Yemei Tshuva provide, because they have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as the poles, the Yom Adin and the Yom Ketzlicha Mechila, and all the range that exists in Rosh Hashanah, and all the single-minded loyalty test theme that is part of Yom Kippur. So the rare opportunity of Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Karub Yaso Karov, of Yamin, which are Yafin L'Tshuva, and therefore Atshuva Miskabeles Miyad, this is a rare opportunity that one shouldn't squander. There's nothing wrong with Schuyos in the context of Tshuva Shlema. Doing mitzvos as part of that, you know, is certainly a very good thing. The question is, sometimes if you pursue zchuyos to achieve the result of mechilas avonos as an alternative to tshuva shleima, right, to remove the threat and the urgency, so then it can be distracting and even counterproductive. I think that's exactly what the issue is. On the one hand, we want Zachreinu L'chaim, but we want Zachreinu L'chaim, and Zachreinu L'chaim as a fear and as a motivating force is a good thing. On the other hand, if we focus only on Zachreinu L'chaim, on physical survival, so then are we missing the boat? Are we missing the opportunity? The same thing is true with regard to Din and Kiddush HaKodesh and marriage. Meaning, the zchuyos are all very good in the context of tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah, ma'avir nesroa ha'gezeira. But as, you know, mechanisms that, you know, that work in their own right because of some mamari chazal or haftacha, you know, that they do, again, if they don't contribute and add urgency to the tshuva shlema, so then maybe they're best left for after Yom Kippur. I think that's exactly what how one could interpret what from Shlomo Kluger had in mind as well. I'm not sure this is what he meant, but I think if he didn't mean it, one can certainly say it in parallel. Meaning, it's not so much that you have to leave your fate unclear until Yom Kippur, or that you don't want to steal the Rabbanu Shalom's thunder together with Yitzumo Shel Yom of Slicha V'Kapara. The point is that you want to feel the full threat. Chayyadim speaks about this as well. Pachad is a constructive, not pachad which immobilizes you, and paralyzes you, but a pachad which energizes you and motivates you. And the idea that Nechilas Avonosa, and it's 2 days before Yom Kippur, and you can relax, that's precisely what you want to reject. And in a sense, I think that this is the idea that the first of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva Shabain Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, if not the actual Asara Yamim themselves, is Tzom Gedalia, is I think projects this idea very, very forcefully. Because of course that's really what a tzom is all about. And the Rambam explains in Perek Aleph Tainis, and again in Perakei, that the purpose of a tzom Ram initially speaks about the natural dangers, but then whether it's tzar tzorer eskem or it's batzores and dever and arben, the principle is that there's a chiyuv tzaka. Of course, that's the same language that the Rambam uses. Tzaka yafe, dirshu Hashem behimatzo, karu b'yaso karo. The same language that we noted in Hilkos Tshuva, both for Rosh Hashanah I'm sorry, for Sarasimei Tshuva and for Tshuva Satzibur, which the Rambam equates. It's interesting that the Rambam explains, Dabar zem bidarkei ha-tshuvahu, shebizman shebtavo tzarim yizako aleho v'yariyu, yedu ha-kol shebiglam ma'aseyem ha-roim hura lehen, kidatsiv ha-honoseyem ki-tu v'gomer, v'zehu she-yigromayim la-hasir ha-tzarim y'aleyem. Avon lo yizako v'lo yariyu, el yomru dabar zem y'minaga olam y'rolanu, v'tzar zunik ranikreis, harizu derech ha-tzarius, v'garam lem lehidavek v'matseyem ha-roim, v'tosif ha-tzara tzaris ha-cheiros, v'hushu gosu v'tari ilah halachten yimah v'keri, Imi v'keri reim halachti imachem b'chamas keri, kolmer avi alechem tzara kadesh tashuvu, im tom rishu keri, osif lachem chamas osu keri. And of course, v'divrei sofrim l'isanos l'chol tzara shetav ala tzibur, ad shiruchum in ha-shamayim, v'bimei atanios, roak and b'filos, mitzchanim, rin b'chatzotzros, novad, and so on. And the Rambam repeats this again in Parakei when he speaks about the tanios tzibur. Basically, the Rambam Shita is that tainios are not so much a commemoration of the day itself as they are an opportunity to be stirred to tshuva. Because we remember what happened then on this anniversary day, and we're not necessarily commemorating the anniversary of the calamity. Personally, I think the Tisha B'Av is different in that respect, not necessarily for the Rambam, but I think that there's other evidence that this is what makes Tisha B'Av unique, that Tisha B'Av really focuses on the commemoration of the Churban itself, Huchpalu Tzaros. But that's a separate topic. But in general, the point is that a Yom Tzom is not so much a commemoration of what has as much as it is positive exploitation of the tzara that was for the opportunity that it provides in the present, namely lashuv b'tshuva. And that's what the Rambam says both in Perek Aleph and in Perek Hay. And the Rambam uses the same phrase in both places. He says, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, V'davar zem bidarkei ha-tshuvahu, and again in Perek Hay, Halacha Aleph, V'liftoach darkei ha-tshuva. I think I pointed out in the past, this is the same phrase that the Rambam uses to describe the ambitious tshuva in Hilchos Tshuva. If you look at Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Dalid, I think it's Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says, Midarkei ha-tshuva. So if you put these three Rambams together, or the two of them with this Rambam, so then you have a better sense of the relationships. Midarkei ha-tshuva lios ha-shav tzoek tamid. Again, it's the tzaaka of the tainis and the tzaaka of aser simei tshuva. Tamid lefnei Hashem, bebechi u'betachanunim, v'osa tzedakot kefi kocho, misrachei karbe min adavar shechotabo, mishana shemoz, the famous Rambam, he changes his name and identity, klamar ni acher, eni osa ish osa osa namaisim, Mishana Maisav Kula Latova, Oladera Kishara, Vigolam Imakomo, Shagolus Mechaperis Avon, Shagaremus Olihichana, Lios Tanavish Faruach. So essentially, what the Rambam described, this is in the parak that begins Ezuhi Tshuva Gemura, but this is the more ambitious form of Tshuva. And of course, it's the Tshuva that transcends particular Chataim, it's the Tshuva that one might say is Tshuva's Hagavra. It's the Tshuva that is the transformation of the individual into a different type of person, literally the change of identity. It's where he basically is severe in his introspection. He judges everything about himself, you know, skeptically, and with an eye towards improvement. Again, it's very meduyak. Midarkei ha-tshuva means mitzoek tamid, and osa tzedaka u'misrachei karbe min adavar shechotav u'mishana shemo u'mishana masav kula l'tova. Apparently, even the old masim, which weren't so bad, the ones that were neutral or maybe even positive, but they too can be transformed as part of the total transformation of the individual. And I think that hooks back with what the Rambam says in the Kostainis itself, where the Rambam says that midarkei tshuva is that whenever a tzara happens, that you should be saying hakol beglal maisim aroyim hura lahen, and so on. You shouldn't be saying, oh, it's a coincidence, or it's happening to someone else. You should always say it's happening to you, it's happening to you because of something that you did. Essentially, this is based on the Gemara in Brachos, You should be mefashvesh v'masecha. And I've said in the past, I'll repeat it again, I don't think that the Rambam means to say that every tzara or every ra that happens happens as a result of chataim, or at least your specific chataim. One can't know that. There are enough gemaras that say that there are other bases. It's yisurin shel ahava, and all sorts of other possible explanations. But I think what's profound about the Rambam is that the Rambam says davar zeh midarkei hatshuva, and especially when you look at the Rambam here, in line of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, I think what the Rambam really means is what the Rav used to call the normative response. Instead of trying to figure out a theological basis for suffering, which is philosophically important, maybe, but at some point reaches a kind of a dead end, a problem of theodicy, of Tzadik Viralo. So more important is the normative halachic response to it. When a person suffers, that he should look inwardly, and he should try to use that as a catalyst for change, as a catalyst for self-improvement. And the way that catalyst works is he projects the worst-case scenario on himself. Again, not on other people. He doesn't say this is happening to us because my neighbor did X, Y, and Z. He says, because I'm at fault. I could have done more. I should have done more, and so on. Now, in the end of the day, can he really know that this is the reason for it? The answer is no. Should he project it and act as if it is? Because then this becomes a constructive opportunity and a catalyst for constructive change. That's what Midarkei HaTshuva. That's what Midarkei HaTshuva is. It says, listen, this happened to us so many years ago in our past. Midarkei HaTshuva. It inspires us to look inwardly. And that's what being Tzoek Tamid, the Bebechi, and the Shan Shemo, and Golem and Mekomo, these are all part of the ambitious tshuva. So if the first of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva happens to be Tzom Gedalia, or was established that Tzom Gedalia is a Yom Tzom, even if you don't take the normal route of Tzom on Aseres Yimei Tshuva, which the Gaonim and some of the Rishonim wanted us to take anyway. But how many of us do it? But that the first day should be a tzom that all of Klal Yisrael keeps to establish this idea of Midarkei HaTshuva and Tshuva Shlema is something I think that clearly sets the tone. And if you look at the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Shulchan Aruch says that what do you do during this time period? And the answer is Mefashvesh B'Masecha. That's the language that is used for Aseres Yimei Tshuva generally. Again, there aren't that many halachos on Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But B'chol ha'yom shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom ha'kippurim marvim b'tfilas v'tachanunim v'omrim avinu malkeinu erev avoker mevad Shabbos afilim yesh mila she'enu v'tachan afil ha'chi amrin erev avinu malkeinu omrim b'chol ha'yom gimel pamim vidui, with the exception of erev Yom Kippur. Okay. Ein nosnim b'cherim ein Mashbin Adam the Desdin, discussions that we just had, Ein Mekadshin Halavana, and they were told, Af mi she'inu nizar mipas shalakum basari sumei tshuva tzarech lizar. V'yesh l'chol Adam l'chapes u'lefashvesh b'masav v'lashuv bahem basari sumei tshuva. Of course, that's the language that that is used by the Gemara whenever you're in a case in a situation of Torah, Mefash Beish Masecha, that's Midarkei HaTshuva. The Suffolk Aveira, also interesting that the Rama quotes this, Tzarech Yoser Tshuva Me'Aveira Vadai. Ki Yoser Niskarid Kishi Yodea She'asa Mish'eni Yodea. V'chein Korban Hashem Talui Hutzach Liyos Yoser B'Yoker Mechatas. So it could be that the Rama just means this on a technical level, meaning don't slough off, if you only have a suffix avera. After all, Ashim Talui is more extensive than a chatas. But I think it's possible that he means more than this. What he means is that the focus of tshuva in Aseres Yimei Tshuva is not only on chatas and chet and things that you know about. It's this idea of nefash beish b'masecha, to unearth things. It's to search for them, and it's to blame yourself. Again, not in the corrosive, guilt-filled way that paralyzes you. Chas v'shalom, that's not what we're talking about. The sense of optimism is also part of the sense of tzara, and optimism go hand in hand in the period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That's, you know, what Chazal say, you know, that Mika Amcha Yisrael, you know, Lovshim Levanim, you know, Misatvim Levanim, you know, they shave, they wear white, they, you know, they act with a sense of confidence. That's also part of part of a Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But yeah.
Why would we do the opposite then? Why glorify Chazal and say, you know, when good things are happening to a person, they should say, oh, it's, you know, how many hours I've learned or how many this stuff.
Well, I mean, I think that would be obvious. I mean, what I'm suggesting is that it's not so much that we can know. Although, in a general sense, there is a concept of Nechateinu. It's certainly a very good thing. So the idea is you always project things that are a catalyst to your spiritual growth. I mean, when good things happen to you and you say, ah, I'm a pretty impressive fellow, the question is that conducive to your spiritual growth? Now, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your accomplishments, and Chazal do say you can be proud of your accomplishments in many things. You do celebrate milestones, including personal Boras Hashem milestones. You celebrate them and you glory in them. But to be saying, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I'm, you know, there's never been anybody like me, is probably, you know, counterproductive to spiritual growth.
I think it's exactly psychologically dangerous, though, to have the opposite.
Well, that's why I'm adding the point that I'm adding. I think it's not to the point of paralysis and the loss of and despair, basically. On the contrary, it's with a sense of optimism and confidence that the truth is that the real message of tshuva is that man has the ability to overcome his own mistakes, the forces arrayed against him, number one, and even his own mistakes. So in a sense, the real message of tshuva is not a message of despair and paralysis. It's a message of hope and of control. That's why smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva is the Rambam's discussion of Bechira Chavshis. Right? Really implicit in tshuva is that you're accountable, you're responsible, because A, you're not a victim of societal forces or behavioral patterns or genetic factors. You are responsible for what you do. That might seem harsh at first. It makes you responsible. It's easier to be able to, you know, to lay the blame and to project it on other factors. And that's a big issue in 20th and 21st century culture, the impact that's had. But in a real sense, it bespeaks of man's great capacity. And it's also a source of his responsibility, which initially is troubling, but it's also a source of great confidence because it shows his potential. Tshuva means that not only is he responsible, which itself is enlightening and optimistic about man's capacity, but he has the ability to extricate himself even from the mess that he's gotten himself into. So that's why this is not supposed to be corrosive and paralyzing at all. And that's why in the context of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, there are things that you do. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. There are many things that you can do to remove yourself from this situation. But I think that the first step is projecting with this optimism and this confidence and this sense that it's never too late, Dershu Hashem Himatso, that's the whole point, Karu Ve'oso Karov. That like the Tzibor, even if there's a Gzardin, which is Nechtach, it's not too late. But the first step is to use, if that's true, then use it as a catalyst. Say Eini Oso Ha'ish, Mishana Shema, but he can do it. Right? It's almost a miracle. I think last year I spoke a little bit about that part of it, and the Mabit and Beis Elokim, among others, speaks about that. How tshuva, you know, has its roots in Hayom Aras Olam, because tshuva itself is a kind of a creation, right? It's almost like a miracle that man can reinvent himself, recreate himself, and tshuva is misheshes in Abrashis. It's built into the fabric of the world because it's all about that, you know, optimistic view that man really has control, and that he can exercise it, and that he can really change his destiny anytime that he wants. So I think you're right. It's not meant to be at all despair, and not meant at all to stymie his development. It's meant to spur him to greatness, to great heights. That's what Tshuva Me'ava Nasik Eskuyos, I think, is really all about. That itself sounds very mystical. Right? What do you mean Nasik Eskuyos? Right? You can't take something bad and make it good, but you do if the experience, you know, if the sense of distance and alienation is one that's now used constructively to show, if I get a second opportunity, what I can do with that relationship, and if indeed I can be Mishana Shemi, the Kol Maasei Kulo L'Tova, through this process, then it's Nasik Eskuyos. And that's why there's a sense of optimism that it can be done, and it ends up being a very positive thing. It's not despairing at all. It's one shouldn't be sad during a Sarasim B'Tshuva. One should be serious during a Sarasim B'Tshuva. It's actually, in many respects, a time of Simcha. Again, Sefer Chinuch says that Yom Kippur is a Yom Simcha, because, wow, you have this second opportunity. Right? And Marakoi and all the things that indicate that Yom Kippur is really a Yom. Not everybody agrees. But Rabbi Yonason also in Erevin, many Rishonim think that Yom Kippur is a time of great Simcha. Serious, but Sameach as well. So I think this is really the point, that that the Tzom is an opportunity, and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva in general is an opportunity of Nefash Vesh B'Masecha, and this projection of, you know, putting it all on your head, as long as it's not, again, this, it doesn't, you know, it's not counterproductive to the initiative of Tshuva, but on the contrary, spurs it. It's something that's very, very important. And I think that's why Asham and Asham Toli are so important, because again, the focus, of course, is on individual katayim that you did, but to focus only on that is equivalent to me focusing on Mochel No Avonosav through the marriage and through the Kiddush Levana and these other things. What you really want to do is take the things you know about and use them as a foundation for, you know, a broader look at who you are, where you are, spiritually, and so on. And Ashram Talui is just a great example of that, because it's a part of the chayiv of Ashram Talui, this according to some Rishonim, is precisely the fact that you put yourself in, you allowed yourself to get into a suffix. In a sense, violating is less problematic than not even knowing whether you violated, from a certain point of view. Right? From a certain point of view, it's not. And the idea that Ashram, therefore, is more expensive, it's not only because you want to compensate for the fact that you might not take it seriously since it's only a safek. That's the words of the Rama, to be fair. That's all he really says. He says, you have chiyuv Ashram Talui, so don't, you know, it's more expensive and you shouldn't gloss over it. You should pay special attention because people are likely to ignore it. But I think that one could perhaps take it a step further and suggest that, again, the Ashram Talui doesn't relate only to specific chatayim. It demands that you look at, you know, how you could have allowed yourself the lack of shmira to get into a situation where you have an Ashram Talui. In a sense, that is more troubling from a Gavra point of view, let's say. Not from a Maisavera point of view, but from a Gavra point of view, that's more troubling. So the Fashesh B'Masecha, the focus on Ashram Talui, on Aseret Yemei Tshuva, I think, together with the tone that is set by Tanis Tzibur, I think is very important as well. And just to conclude, Yeshua Hashem Behimatzo, so the Medrash says that refers, Karuva So Karov, that refers even more specifically to Yoshve Beis HaMedrash U Beis HaKnesses than to regular people. Not that the obligation is great. I think the obligation is greater in one sense. I mean, the obligation is equal to all Klal Yisrael. It's Chiyuv Yachid, not Chiyuv Tzibur. But I think the point is that people who are Yoshev Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash have a greater sense of responsibility and accountability. And also they're a more conducive audience for the ambition of what Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yeshua Hashem Behimatzo is really all about. Because they can understand more so than someone who, you know, who doesn't live immersed in the world of Torah, that it is more than about a specific Averas. But that, you know, there is a totality, that there's something called the Tshuva Sagavra. And that the period of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really provide that opportunity. And the expectations are greater for Yoshev Beis HaMedrash and Yoshev Beis HaKnesses. And in some sense, obviously, the opportunities to achieve the higher ambition is greater as well. And it's, you know, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo, it has to be pursued in different ways. you know, in the sense of drisha v'chakira, and in the sense of batzar lecha v'mitzaucha, v'darashta Hashem alokecha, right? Again, the response to inner crisis in this case. Again, we read the language of the Beis Yosef. Aser simei tshuva is one long eis tzara, in a sense. And also, you know, karov yaso karov, beyond the, you know, the intellectual and the halachic aspect of it, there's also karov yaso karov, simply the sense of crying out, you know, like the tzaka of the shofar. Sometimes the inarticulate bechi is, you know, is even more powerful than the articulated one. So it's both of these things, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo and Kra'uv Yosef Karov. And really, you know, it bears repeating every year that this is the challenge, really, that Aser Simei Tshuva provide for us. It really is, in that sense, a bridge between Yom Adin Rosh Hashanah and Yom Ketz Licho Mechila Li Yisrael. I think that's what the Rama meant, that Yom Kippur is Yom Ketz Licho Mechila. Meaning that's the time when the ultimate, you know, question of Zachayinu L'chayim in a more tangible sense, Mochlum Avonosav, you know, will take place. But the time of Aser Simei Tshuva, which is focused on each individual, not an issue of Zchus HaRabim. Every individual has to look in his own mirror, reflect on his own, past and missed opportunities, and so on and so forth. The Korban Ola plays a special role in the Al Chet. Also discussed by the Poskim, the order of the Al Chets. But even the, you know, the lost opportunities of Mitzvah Saseh or your Hurei Avera, that's more central in a certain sense. So while Yom Kippur is Ketz Slicho Mechila Yisrael, Aser Simei Tshuva remains the period of time where Tshuva is Yafe, Bioser, and Miskabel Miyad. And it really is a special opportunity to focus on those issues. Oh, I'm sorry, too long. When is Menes Mincha? 1:30, so we have a little time. Anyway, so let's turn our attention to the Gemara.
Given the Rambam's understanding of Ashkafa, why would it be so terrible to say that Tzara was really a Derech Mikra? Mikra. I mean, did he capitalize on the Tzara and imagine that it becomes...
Because of the Rambam, certain things couldn't be really right. Have a Mikra. Right. So I think this, again, what you're saying plays into my point, which is, I don't think that the Rambam is making the statement that, although, of course, there is a concept of Mdekhatainu, and the Rambam actually is very specifically honest about it. You know, he speaks about setting people up, you know, chachamim, you know, to figure out, you know, what people are doing wrong and what they're not doing wrong.
Is that a stira?
No, I don't think it's a stira. I think that's all part of the. I think number one, it is a good chance that it's so, especially if done with something that's bought, seaboard. And number two, even if it isn't so, the. You know, the effort itself is intrinsically valid. Right. I think both of those things are true. The second point is the point that answers your question, meaning even though for all people the Rambam shouldn't have denied that, you know, some things just happen as a result of other things happening, you know, the forces of nature and so on. But in terms of projecting it that way, that's where the normative response of the time is coming.
If it's not true, why would it?
I'm not saying it isn't true. It could very well be true. And the point is, all I'm saying is, let's say it's only 70% true or 80% true. I mean, there are other explanations of things that happen within the Rambam and you know, within the Gemara. And it could be Surin Shalava, it could be somebody else's Surin spilling over on you. There could be many other explanations. But the point is, you don't know. So the response of Hatzara Torer, you know, the Harayosa, is still the right response. And either way, it's midark. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's midark yachuba, since you don't know, you know, to be machmer on yourself. Not just machmer on yourself. Maybe it happened, and maybe it happened, and even if it didn't happen, you know, it might have been me, and therefore it's an opportunity. And that lost opportunity, I think, is something that that you have to answer for, even if it turns out that it is Yisur and Shalava or somebody else's. So that makes the whole thing almost irrelevant. Whatever the Rambam thinks about Hashkacha generally, it's beside the point when it comes to Hilchos Kabbalas, Parakalik, and Parakeh. If what I'm saying is correct. That's why the words Midarkei Hatshuva are used, not just a more direct term. This Midarkei Hatshuva, this is the response that you're supposed to give. It's a response that is consistent with being an Ogen Hashem, generally. Yeah.
What do you guys say? That's the universal position. Once Chazal and later,
Well, that's a different question. Maybe we'll get another time. But just the brief answer is, what I just said, Mipnei Chataenu is, many psukim in the Torah that say Mipnei Chataenu.
Maybe a more natural cause. Isn't
that? Right, so you're asking a different question. Is everything a result of Mipnei Chataenu? That's an important question. The answer might be no. Is anything? Well, I think you have to say, you'd be writing out half of Sefer, Yikra and Nevarim, I think.
Certain things are more natural.
What?
Because mitzvot makes sense, the person, does a chet, then it's going to have an adverse effect on him ethically or in whatever way.
Well, it's also skarbonish. I think what you're saying is the impact of chet is not always the same either. In some cases, it's onish. Onish is well documented. Right? There's no denying onish. The idea of b'techa ta'enu galinu mi'artzenu from psukim and, the kosai, the psukim and the tochcha, and all over the place, that say, if Klal Yisrael does this is the onish that they're going to get. There's no denying that. That's a good chunk of Torah. But I think what you're saying is, in addition to that, there's a certain natural consequence of Chet. Not onish, but a natural result. I think that's what you just said, right? I think that's true also.
What? Why can't that be natural?
It could also be, but it's the psukim in Devarim and so on don't say that everything is natural. They say some of this is onish. Scarb onish means that there's onish. Or just that not the idea that in addition to onish, there's also natural consequences of taking yourself out of hashgacha or a certain lifestyle, avera gorera savera, or a certain causal relationship like that, are also very well documented in Tanakh and in Chazal. I think that's true. But that's not, they're not all one way, they're not all the other way. And there's a third possibility, which is what Eliyahu was referring to, and I think Zach as well, that is, and there's something called, let's say, in Chazal, Yisurim Shalahava. There are other people's Yisurim that can spill over on you in theory. I guess it also depends on the quality of the Tzara, right? If, Tzara al Tzibur, that, the ones that are unnatural, and so on, including the hand of Hashgacha seems to me. I'm not interested in documenting all the different. For my purposes, it's enough to say that yesh, yesh, yesh. So there are clearly mivnei chataenu onish, and there are clearly the avera gorera savera in the sense of causal relationship to certain kind of lifestyle begets certain consequences, which isn't directly onish, but it's consequences of your improper behavior. And there are other things that are nisyonos or. Surim Shel Ava, or as I say, other Teva, and so on. It doesn't really matter how much of each. What I'm saying is that the Rambam, of all people who believed in the independence of nature, and that's the point that Eliyahu was asking about, I just think it's Ian Lasenis, that's exactly my point. The Rambam, who would say more, the Ramban thought everything, the Ramban, at least in certain places, seems to say that everything is a kind of a natural. There's no such thing as a natural order. Everything is a, nes nista. Rabban Latar says the name, Sharak Mul, different, but okay. But the Rambam clearly doesn't have this view. There's a nature that the Rabban Shalom set up, and the Rambam tries to interpret things as naturalistically in tendency, as naturalistically as he can. The Rambam makes dreams out of certain of the miracles in Tanakh and so on. Not out of all of them, but some of them. And yet, the Rambam of his Tainus has this very strong statement about anybody who says Nikron Nikreis, that something is coincidental. That's not happening to me, it just happens. It's a Achzari. Achzari is a very strong term. I've said in the past, and I'll repeat it again, I don't think the Rambam is talking about what I call a spiritual scapegoating either. I think there's a tendency today that when something bad happens, you know, it's all checking the mezuzahs. There's nothing wrong with checking the mezuzahs. Sometimes this is always a good thing. You can check the mezuzahs when something bad doesn't happen. When something bad happens, it might be a good idea to check the mezuzahs in the sense that, you know, schuyos and mitzvos, we believe, provide a certain protection and hashgacha. But, you know, if you find that the question is what happens when you protect the mezuzahs and you find that they're fine, does that mean they didn't do anything wrong? Or let's say you protect them, if you check the mezuzahs and you find out that there's a problem with mezuzahs, which, you know, you hear all these stories. Now, so that mean that that was the problem? Right? I would think that that would be counterproductive in what the Rambam was saying. You know, so good, so your mezuzahs wore out. You know, how much of a medarkei tshuva is that? And certainly saying that the, you know, your neighbor is responsible, or the chiloniim, or somebody else, you know, how much of a medarkei tshuva is that? I mean, that's, people think that that's what the Rambam said, but that's not what he's saying. The Rambam's idea is that you project on yourself medarkei tshuva. You say, it's my fault. And it's the mezuzahs, so good. That's what you should definitely fix, the mezuzahs. And you might even argue that if the mezuzahs were fine and good, and I'm not joking, I'm serious. Maybe it would have been a protection. I don't know how. Are the chazals that say? I mean, shmiras habayis to mezuzah is a concept in halacha. Clearly, but obviously there could be bad things that happen in your home even if you have good mezuzahs. And if you have bad mezuzahs, you know, it doesn't mean that that's the only thing. You know, don't look. You know, min a mezuzah solamala. That would be counterproductive. That's not midarkei tshuva. That's what it's saying. Midarkei tshuva means to take an opportunity of a negative thing that happens to you that you wish hadn't happened to you, but it happened, right? And to exploit it as constructively as you can. That doesn't mean spiritual scapegoating. Ah, it happened because of this, and therefore that's all that there is, and I don't have to think about anything else. That's not what it means. What it means is, maybe it happened because of this, and maybe it happened because of that, and maybe it also happened because of that, and that, and that. Now, did it happen because of all of them, or any of them? Maybe we could be completely wrong in all of it. But either way, that's the constructive response of midarkei tshuva to sorrow. So then you have the benefit of, you know, being mefashesh v'matzecha. Now, can you find when you're mefashesh v'matzecha? What I'm really saying is, when you're mefashesh v'matzecha, can you then pin it down and know for certain that this was it? I think the answer is no. How would you ever know? There's an epistemological problem. You just don't have the, you know, we're not clued in to know that this is it and this is not something else. But it doesn't matter, because it could be it's none of these things, and it could be it's Yisroel Mishalava, and it could be it's... It doesn't make a difference either way. What I'm suggesting is, it might be these things, and that's all that's important. But that's the dark age. And since that's true, it doesn't deny that there are other forces. The main thing is not to blame other people and not to trivialize what takes place and say, oh, it's only because of this one thing. The main thing is to make it a catalyst for tshuva shlema to be a better, like the Rambam shows, parakais halacha dalet midarkei tshuva. That's tshuva gemura. It's interesting. That's tshuva gemura midarkei tshuva. You cannot do tshuva without tshuva gemura. But the Rambam Hilchos Tainis refers to tshuva gemura, because that's the whole point. The whole point is that it's the normative response, and therefore it involves this being hard on yourself projection. But again, not to the point of paralysis, to the point of action. That's supposed to be a spur for you to inspire you to take initiative to relook at your life. And if you were wrong and it turns out that it was because of your neighbor's chait or the rest of Klal Yisrael and you're the only one who's guiltless, so what have you lost by re-examining by the Mufash Vesh Mahasacha? As long as, again, it wasn't out of despair and didn't lead to you know, a corrosive guilt, which is negative. We don't believe in that. We believe in guilt which is constructive. So that, I think, is that's how I understand the Rambam. Okay. So let's move on to the next issue. Let's try to get through.